Sitarist Partha Bose brings the sounds of Indian classical music to Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs this Sunday. Bose began playing music as a child in Calcutta and has since built an international career, performing across 5 continents and introducing audiences around the world to the beauty and improvisation of Indian music. His concerts combine centuries-old musical traditions with the spontaneity and energy of a live conversation between musicians and audiences. Sunday show is part of Cafe Lena's Global Voices series, which brings music and traditions from around the world to Saratoga, and does so this Sunday, August 16th at 7 p.m. It's a great pleasure to welcome Partha Bose to the roundtable this morning. Partha, thank you very much for being with us.
Musical greetings to you and everybody else. Namaste from India.
I must say that I was struck with, just as we were going on, you were telling me of how many years you've been coming to the United States to tour. How did that begin, and why is that such an important part of your musical life?
It began in 1991, but the story goes back even further. I met some people in Kolkata, my home city, which used to be pronounced as Calcutta, the name given by the British. Now we've gone back to the old name, Kolkata. That is in the eastern part of India, the province of West Bengal. And I'm a Bengali, that I speak my language, Bengali. And I live in Bengal, I live in Kolkata. And right from my teens, since the time I started dreaming of making music a career, I was also dreaming of performing internationally as well as across India. And unfortunately, I didn't come from a musical family, which makes it a little bit easy because, you know, through your parents who are musicians, you get to know people and you make some contacts and you might be given relatively more opportunities to showcase your talent. So the platform is very important. But I had to find my way about. And I met some people in concerts in India, and some of them lived in America. And I think all of them were Indians, settled in the USA. And some of them liked my music. And I was always a dreamer. I still am. And I love to dream, and dreams don't cost me money. So, and it energizes me. I was dreaming that time, here's the guy whom I met at that last concert, and he seems to like my music. He lives in the USA. So it would be wonderful if he could generate some contacts in the USA so that I could, sometime in my life, someday, I could have an opportunity to perform. And things like this, you know, it went on. And finally, after a few years, in 1991, I got some concerts confirmed in the USA and also in Canada. And that led to my first trip. And I'm very happy to say that I had probably just 6 concerts in the US and 3 in Canada. And when I returned from my North American trip, I had performed in 26 concerts.
So this is obviously, as I said, very important as part of your musical life, which, from what I understand, you started playing the instrument when just a kid, 6 years old.
Absolutely.
What was it that connected you to it?
I would describe it as a happy accident. In fact, I've been asked this question in several interviews. As I mentioned that my family background is not one of musicians.
Right.
I actually was born and brought up in a business family. And like almost every kid, we were encouraged to do some kind of, to learn some music or art form as a hobby. Incidentally, my father had started learning sitar in the year 1967, just as a hobby. And the visiting music teacher found that while he came to teach my father, that somebody was playing the piano and he was playing the lessons that the music teacher had taught my father, Indian classical ragas. Although I admit I didn't know how to play the piano was there in my home because my uncle, he was also an amateur, you know, kind of musician, just into as a hobby. So I had access to the piano. I was just, you know, banging my finger down on the keys and trying to play the Indian melodies that were taught to my father. And when the music teacher talked to my father, who is playing, he said that, oh, he doesn't know anything. He's my son. Then the music teacher said that apparently he has a ear for music. So he's been able to pick up your lessons without being taught. And he's playing flawlessly, while after being taught and after practicing for a week, you are making mistakes. So why don't you let him learn? My father was very strict, like most Indian parents in those days. And he told the music teacher that, you know, in our family, we don't really let the children learn music as such. They must focus on their studies, their academics. And finally, he would have a career in the family business. Well, I don't know what exactly prompted the music teacher, but he came out with two perceptions. The first one is that I have seen by my regular visits to your home that your children are pretty much sheltered. I mean, they're not even allowed to play with other kids in the neighborhood. So whatever they do, they're at home. So if you introduce a hobby that keeps him at home, that interests him, so that would fulfill another purpose. He won't be trying to go out. And the second thing he said, that business would be his profession, but academics, learning music on any other fine art, would develop his concentration. So that would actually boost up his academic pursuits.
In the introductions to you and the biographies of you and your music, and even for this particular concert, they refer to you as a classical music sitarist. How do you classify that, and do you think that is a correct descriptor?
Indian music is a kind of panorama at the moment. But it all started 4,000 years back during the time of the Vedas, the earliest scriptures of Indian civilization, when music started as a form of worship. And the hymns or the stotras, those were sung in the form of musical notes. And gradually, from three notes, the octave evolved. And what started as a form of worship in nature, outdoor, that gradually developed over hundreds and thousands of years to finally assume the form of Indian classical music, at the heart of which are the twin concepts of raga, melody, and the tala, rhythmic cycle. So Indian music or Indian classical music is that kind of music which is rooted in the melodic concept of raga and the rhythmic concept of the tala. By all along, as this classical music evolved to assume its present form, there were several other forms of music which also evolved, like folk music. Every country has its own folk music, and we describe it as having the smell of the soil. So we find that Indian music, folk music, is also rooted in melodies, but they're not necessarily limited to the raga. You do not have that strict purview of the raga to play or learn folk music. They might have some elements of the ragas, but the musician or the composer is free to let his imagination fly. There are other kinds of music, like India has so many provinces, so many languages, different forms of culture. India is like a mini Europe. Like, you have different kinds of music, Spanish music, German music, or maybe French music. But in India, we have just one, North Indian classical music, and the other is South Indian classical music. But other regional forms of music, regional songs, devotional songs like bhajans, they're all there. But when we talk of classical music, we imply that music which has a framework of the raga, the melody, and the tala, the rhythmic cycle. And the highlight, or I would say the salient feature of this music, is it is totally improvised while being rooted in the concepts of the raga and tala.
Let us talk about how you, of how this performance at Cafe Lena, you will integrate the tabla in as well, correct?
Yeah. Well, I should have added this point that just as we have two blades of a scissor to make the scissor effective, you can cut a piece of paper or a piece of cloth with just one blade. So also Indian music has these twin instruments or these twin elements, melody and rhythm. And when I perform sitar is the melody instrument, but it has melodic elements and rhythmic elements. And for the rhythmic elements, I need a percussion support. And here the Indian percussion drums, a pair of drums actually, they enter and they are seamlessly integrated with my sitar. In fact, we have two segments of our music performance. The first segment is called Alap, which is the Indian word for introduction, meaning the melody is introduced to the audience by slow, soft melodic phrases, which are supposed to convey to the audience the mood of the melody, the mood of the raga, which could be love, which could be devotion, which could be an expression of natural beauty like dawn or sunset. But the second segment is called Gat or Gatkari. That is set to a beat cycle, and it is here that the tabla enters the program and accompanies the sitar by holding the rhythm. But it is not merely a timekeeper. It has individual rounds where it indulges in rhythmic exchanges. And there are segments of our performance which listeners everywhere in the East and the West, they love that. It's a kind of a question answer. The sitar is asking a question by a melodic phrase and the tabla is replying to it by a rhythmic phrase.
Well, that's beautiful. If I ask you what people can expect from the performance on Sunday, how would you answer that?
Well, I would like to base my reply on the basis of the experiences that have been shared with me after concerts in Europe and North America. So I basically mean not Indian audiences, but audiences who were born and brought up in a different musical culture. First of all, I would like to say that I believe that the number 7 is the most important number to me. We have 7 days in a week. We have 7 colors of the rainbow, and we have 7 notes all over the world. So this strengthens my belief that we are one. This is one world. So everybody on this planet, just by having a musical ear, they can relate to any kind of music, just as I relate to Western classical music. It is one of my favorite forms of music, though I know nothing about harmonies or chords or counterpoints. In the same way, listeners have given me the feedback after performances in Europe and North America that they felt the emotional content of the melody. They could not explain to me which raga or which notes were used, although the notes are also common. In the Western world, you call them do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. In the East, we call them sa, re, ga, ma, pa, dha, ni, sa. In fact, the second note has the same name, do, re, and sa, re. So the second note has the same name even. So if notes are common, melodies are appealing to the heart, any listener, whether Eastern or Western, whether American or European or Indian or Asian, they can relate to the music. The emotion actually talks to the listener, not the technicalities, not the grammar. And beats or beat cycle or rhythmic variations, that is universal. Because I think it started, there's a theory that it started with drums in Africa, the drum beat, which was probably the father of percussion music. So any percussion music which is based on drums, which is based on rhythms, that can appeal to anybody. And when audiences, I hope, hopefully, in Cafe Lena would find that sitar and tabla are actually engrossed in a dialogue, the two instruments are talking to each other, the two musicians are talking to each other and they find creativity being, it's happening right in front of their eyes, and they can listen to it, they can see it, they can relate to the body language. There are different spells of the music. For people who like soft music, the alap or the introductory segment. For people who like deep sound, we have the lower octave of the sitar, which sounds like a cello. For those who like speed, we have segments, especially in the climax of the performance, where it sounds like some kind of competition between sitar and tabla. But there is always a spirit of unity in that. For those who like the rhythmic variations that they associate with jazz, they can also relate to our music. So I hope they would be, the audience would find a little bit of something for each one of them. And in the end, maybe I would present a folk tune from India, from my province of Bengal, like a boatman's song. And audiences across the globe have been to relate to it, have been able to relate to it because of the simple melody and also the rhythm of the waves.
Well, Partha Bose will be at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs this Sunday. It's August 16th, and it's at 7 o'clock. You can find out more information by going to cafelena.org. That's spelled with two Fs, C-A-F-F-E-L-E-N-A, cafelena.org. Sitarist Partha Bose, what a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a delight speaking with you, and we look forward to having you in town.
My pleasure and heartfelt gratitude.
Thank you very much. Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.